This is Alan Karpik with our July 4th. I mean, what a better way can you have to spend July 4th but with us, our July 4th Saturday conversation. And today we'll be drafting our best special teams guys. That would be one punter, one place kicker, one return guy, and then also a special teams demon, you know, whether it be somebody that can block kicks or long snappers or whatever. So we'll have some fun with this. I want to thank our sponsors. Of course, that is Purdue Federal Credit Union, Follett's Purdue West, 6th Street Dive, East End Grill, both serving and open in Lafayette right now. And of course, First Source Bank, Charters Team Remax Ability Plus, and Home Field Apparel. All folks that have been good to us here at Golden Black and sponsors of our podcast and simulcast for Saturday Conversation. Tom, I'm going to start with you. And as I always do, I let you get the first pick. We're going to start with kickers and let you pick who is your pick. And you're going to have a heart. I know you're going to be conflicted on this one. But I'm going to let you start with your kicker and who you would go with for your number one kicker for Purdue.
Well, I think you have to go with Travis Dorsch, right? I mean, as much as I want to pick Jonathan Briggs, Allen, the West Lafayette Red Devil.
Yeah.
Although, if you remember this, Allen, you were there in 1987 when Purdue named its 100.
Right, 100-year team. That's correct.
And Jonathan Briggs was the kicker on that team.
Right.
Best kicker in Purdue's first 100 years. I'm not saying that was a tremendous achievement. That Purdue had a litany of great kickers, but still, Briggs was very good, but you know the numbers that Dorsch put up are you can't ignore them, Al. I mean, 68 career field goals, the huge leg. I mean, you love to tell the story of the kick up in the Metrodome in 2001.
Yeah,
and how you sit with your kids and whatnot. I mean, you can go on and on about Travis Dorsch. Yeah, he had his issues. He sort of became a vilified person for a while after he missed some kicks. But, you know, in the end, boy, he made a lot of big kicks, Alan. He was a heck of a weapon, a great, great punter, too. All-American. What, he won the award for the punting award, too, I believe, right? The trophy.
Right.
A pretty player's doing a trophy. So, again, Travis Dorsch, when you're talking kickers, I think that's the guy you have to go with.
Yeah, Travis is, you know, we talked about his, you know, much in 2000, obviously. He had went through a lot of stuff having to deal with the – some of it wasn't his fault, if not a lot of it, in 2000, missed field goals, but not being able to get field goals off against, or excuse me, punts off against Penn State, had to deal with that. And of course, kicking that game winner in 2000 against Michigan, that was the do-over. He had missed it about a minute earlier. Purdue got the ball back and he kicks the game winner. But in 2001, he was nails, and certainly one of the great kicks in Purdue history as Purdue's special teams ran out in the field with seconds to go against Minnesota in the Miracle in the Metrodome late September that year. Unbelievable, and he just flat nailed it.
From a negative standpoint, I flash back to the very first game of the decade of the 2000s.
Yeah.
Purdue against Georgia. And the bowl in Tampa, the Outback Bowl, I think an extra point got missed early in that game, right?
And then Travis he did miss an extra point, but they also missed a field goal that would have, I think, right before half, that Travis, if you talk to him, I believe, would come back and say that kick was good. They didn't. It's like the officials missed the call. It's very close, but and that would have put Purdue back on track. And of course, Purdue went for two a number of times. But that was early on in his career. But you know, you think about Travis coming in. He was a freshman. He was a USA Today All-American, which was the big team back in that time, coming from Bozeman, Montana, and comes through, very athletic guy. And we were talking about on Facebook this week, saw how he and a fellow West Side guy, Lane Custer, just did a kind of their version of an ultra marathon through Utah, where Travis lives now. So Travis, an unbelievable athlete.
Baseball player, Purdue, too.
Excellent baseball player. So, yeah, Travis certainly is up there and certainly deserves that pick. I think it was my pick, and I do think Jonathan Briggs deserves some attention. I think Carson Wiggs is my would be my pick. And I was a little surprised, and I don't know all the – and I'm sure all kickers would be able to tell you why, you know, why Carson never really got a shot in the NFL, and maybe there was a flaw there somewhere. But I do remember Danny Hope in the spring game. I think that was the only thing that Danny Hope mattered to Danny, is that he wanted Carson Wiggs to hit a 67 or 70-yard field goal, which he did in the spring game, kind of as a matter of show, so to speak. But he had a huge leg, and in 2011 was really one of the best kickers. But there are others out there that would be of consideration. Certainly, like you said, Jonathan Briggs. I would argue also, even back in the day, Larry Sullivan had a very, very good year, 1 year for Purdue. And Rick Anderson also kind of had a Jekyll and Hyde career for Purdue. 1 year, very, very good when Purdue, one of Purdue's first soccer-style kickers. But I like our picks there, and two very, very good kickers there.
Real quick, who was Purdue's first soccer-style kicker?
Well, I think full-time was Rick Anderson. Okay. Scott Sovereign kicked before that. Anderson came on. I think they may have had a couple others that took some shots, but really the full-time kicker was Rick Anderson. I could be wrong on that. Somebody, I'm sure, will correct me if I am. But
real quick, too, we've got to give a shout out to Ben Jones.
Yeah, Ben Jones was huge, especially his first year, where in 2003, transfer from Butler. Purdue had some success with Butler with Seth Morales as well. He hit some big kicks in the game winner against Wisconsin, a short one, but he came up big in 2003. Really had a good kind of a Rick Anderson type career, because Anderson had a very good first year, was not as good as second. I think that was a little bit the case with Ben Jones, but Ben certainly an honorable mention guy.
25 field goals in 2003, a school single season record.
Yeah, and so you can't minimize the job he did. And he was money, and he had distance on him too. He was very, very good. In 2003, Purdue kind of played a possession game and kicked a lot of field goals that year. But very, very one of Joe Tiller's best teams. All right, punter. This is going to be an interesting pick, because you can consolidate your roster here. But tell me where you're going with on this one.
I'm going with Sean McCarthy. How about that?
Yeah. Okay. There you go.
Big Sean. I got a chance to speak with him, Alan, last year for Catching Up. He's a golf pro.
Yeah.
In Arizona, he said he sort of forged a career as a golf pro, as a family man, just a really fun guy to speak with, a real good way about him, good personality. And Alan, 6'7", one of the tallest guys ever to play Purdue football, I'm sure. And I remember in 1987, he quarterbacked quite a few games. You know, that was your Doug Downing had some turns as well. Jeff George had left the first year. Fred Akers and Sean McCarthy ends up taking the majority of the snaps for Purdue that year. Terrific punter, Alan, was drafted, punted for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years with the Patriots. And he tells some good stories about that. He told me that his ability to play quarterback played a large part in them keeping him, too. Big-legged guy and another tremendous athlete.
Yeah, and Sean certainly was a guy – that game against Wisconsin in 87, comes in, throws for 300 and some yards, was terrific. Kind of a side armor, not a natural, from Fremont, Ohio, I believe it was.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
He kind of looked the part because he was tall, like you said, then got replaced after that in 88, I think. May have started the season. I don't know if that's right or not, but I know Brian Fox, obviously, and Eric Hunter came along that year as well. But Sean, a talent, I guess Fox, excuse me, Hunter would have been 89, but guys that made a difference. All right, I don't know how we play this one, because my punter is Travis Dorsch. Now, we can't split him. I mean, you got a guy that averaged – led the nation in punting, first team All-American in 2001. He was phenomenal. And again, Travis would tell us, because we talked to both of us, and we probably ought to find out. I'm not sure, again, did he had a, you know, I couldn't, again, with that booming leg. I mean, he had a Reggie Roby leg. I mean, of course, Reggie Roby, the punter from Iowa, that was a great kicker in the NFL for the Dolphins.
He used to wear his watch on the field.
Yeah, and he averaged, what, 48 yards a punt. He was unbelievable. And I don't know whether there was a flaw there. And, you know, I know that Travis was drafted by the Cincinnati Bengals and had some chances down there, but and maybe more as much as a place kicker as a punter. But he would be hard-pressed to find a better guy. But my honorable mention guy, and I have to mention, one of my all-time favorite punters, and partly because he's a pharmacy major and knows my daughter, I guess. But he was terrific, and that's Joe Schopper.
Oh, yeah, he was great.
2017, partly because he was a very good punter. His average was good. It was well over 40 yards a kick. But he played it with a quarterback mentality. His fakes were phenomenal. I mean, I think he had a pass or two in there. He had a run in there. He was part of the magic, in my opinion, of 2017 in terms and 18 in terms of where that you know, he really provided a not only stability to that position, but also a guy that people had to defend. And he was very athletic, would make plays. I think he's an honorable mention. Cody Webster had huge numbers as a punter at Purdue as well. There are others, Dave Brightus. You can name a number of them.
How about Eric Brune? Here's your trivia. What state's Eric Brune from?
Not Montana. No, he's not Montana. Nope, you got me. I don't know.
Idaho.
and I don't think Purdue – I mean, you got Travis Dorse from Montana. I don't think Purdue's got any other players from – I've totally forgotten about Eric Brune was one that was a great great punter in his time as well. And you have a guy that could really make it happen. I certainly at that position. So from a football, the only football guy that I can think of definitely the only one from Idaho that I can think of, but a great punter as well. All right, now we will turn to return. We'll start to return men and let you take the first pick. And who do you slicing and selecting?
A lot of quality guys here, Alan, but I got to go with Rod Woodson, even though he was surpassed for his career yards. You were there in the press box with me for most of that Woodson era. We talked about the kick return in Iowa a few weeks ago. I remember the season opener in 1986 against Ball State.
Yeah.
And Rod Woodson raced back to the end zone, hit pay dirt on a kickoff that day as well to set the tone for a victory against the Cardinals that day. On and on it went. You know, for a lot of those years, he was the lone bright spot for Purdue, and he certainly provided a lot of fun moments every time he had his heels on the goal line, Alan, waiting for a kickoff. 6 feet tall, 200 pounds, Olympic caliber speed. A tremendous strength and instincts, Alan. When, you know, the football gods wanted to make a football player, you know, Rod Woodson was the template and just a special, special talent.
Yeah, no question. And you know what? It's funny because I really didn't even think about him initially. He had so many skills at so many different things for Purdue. And by the way, the other great Purdue athlete from Idaho, I digress, is, of course, Carissa Yason, the multi-sport, the late Carissa Yason, who was from Coeur d'Alene, but I digress. But, yeah, I think that's a great pick, and who in the heck can argue with that? I'm going to date myself, and there'll be some old-timers that will remember Stan Brown, 1970. And he makes our list because this list starts in 1970, led the nation in kick returns. I think he had two kick returns for touchdowns that year. The human airplane, number 22, from Richmond, California. And he was probably as much known for at the goal line. He would literally – they would hand him the ball. He's only about 5'8", 5'9". He would soar over the line and score. But he was a great return guy. Very, very decent receiver. Even his senior year in 1970, Purdue didn't have a great passing game, but he was very, very good there. But he was a great return guy. Had kick returns against Ohio State in 1970, One of the classic games, Ohio State beats Purdue 10-7. It kind of like that 2002 game. Stan Brown in an ice and snowy day. It gets scores only Purdue's only touchdown on a kick return against the Buckeyes. Purdue had under 100 yards in total offense, but then Ohio State kicks the game-winning field goal, or the game-leading field goal with about 2 minutes to go, and Stan Brown almost returned the second one, got caught on a shoestring tackle at about the 50-yard line by Ohio State, or he had two return for touchdowns. But he had other kick returns over his career in 1969 at Ohio State as well. He actually returned two touchdowns. Raheem Mostert, led the nation in 2011, would certainly be a high honorable mention. Vinny Sutherland, very good punt returner in his day, had a kick return for a touchdown. Dorian Bryant, really a fine returner, had a kick return for a touchdown against Penn State, I think in 2007, I want to say. But there have been some good kick return guys in Purdue history over the years, but Jimmy Smith for a short period of time was very good as a kick returner. You know, punt returners, it's been Purdue's not had a lot of guys that have been really great back there. Vinny Sutherland, like I had that return against Indiana that led Purdue to a win in 1999. But you know, you think about punt returners of late, you know, we keep waiting and maybe we'll see that in 2020.
Well, here you go. Here's your trivia question.
Rondale Moore, but go ahead.
Who's Purdue's all-time leader in punt return yards?
I don't know. I mean,
Anthony Chambers.
Anthony Chambers, who also was serviceable, of course, a transfer out of Kansas from Kansas Junior College. She's played 2 years, but that may be kind of telling of where you are in terms of punt return guys. But
Ernest Callaway, Calvin Williams.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, there's other guys in the kick return game that were very good too. Akeem Hunt was good.
Yeah.
Day as well. Purdue's had some good ones. Jerome Brooks had a kickoff return for touchdown 2003, as I recall, against Notre Dame. 2004. There have been some good ones back there.
I was thinking about this the other day after I talked to Willie Fells. I was thinking about those Coletto teams. Thinking about Joe Hagans.
Yeah.
Joe Hagans was a linebacker and he would run back kickoffs.
Oh, yeah.
Think about it. He's still in 17th at Purdue in career kickoff average. Think about that linebacker.
Yeah.
Back kickoffs.
And Joe, they'd put him in the power offense. I know he had a rushing touchdown against Notre Dame in 1994, maybe. But yeah, Joe Hagans was a talented guy and kind of Jim Coletto's poster person for, you know, here's a guy, an athlete that we wanted to get. Joe was a very, you know, at times, maybe never fully peaked as a player, but he had his moments, a very athletic guy.
Yep.
All right, our special teams all-around person, whether they be someone that was good at blocking kicks or long snapping, you tell me. Long snappers darn important, no question. And Purdue's had some very, very good ones over the years. Certainly, it's the job that goes unnoticed. But also some other guys that at least I'm thinking of that might be on my all block kick teams or other guys I'd like to have around. But you.
Okay, Alan, I'm going to go with the long snappers just to give them some love. All right.
All right.
I got three I can actually name, which I'm kind of impressed with myself now that I think about it. Of course, I got to meet one of them with you last fall in Indianapolis, Dr. Shelbourne's son.
Yeah, John. Uh-huh.
He was the guy who executed the snap for Travis Dorsch in the dome.
Yeah.
He got to share a story with us on that night at Smee's. But I'm going to go with the guy that was snapping when I was in college named Pat Snyder.
Oh, there you go.
Young. He was a little guy. Excellent, excellent long snapper. I think he actually, Alan, played on the scab team for the Colts.
Yeah.
In 1987, because Leon Burtonnett was there as the running backs coach, and Leon knew about Pat, and Pat got to be part of those Colts scab teams when they had the strike in 87. And again, he was a, like you said, Alan, boy, you don't, long snappers are like your health, you don't appreciate it until you lose it.
Yeah.
You want one, you never hear his name, because he's always doing his job. And he was good. And I remember a guy named Dino Kaklis. Yeah, Jim Coletto actually gave him a scholarship out of high school.
Yeah.
How many times does a coach give a scholarship to a long snapper coming into school. Usually you have to be there 3 or 4 years and they'll give you your scholarship late in your career. But Dino got a scholarship coming right out of high school. I think he snapped the moment he got to campus, Alan. Snapped 4 years for Coleto in the early 90s. Was a guy who was always sort of a cut above as a snapper, I recall.
Yeah, Ben Makowski, there's been some others, and I'm missing some people that are obvious here, but there have been some really good long snappers. But I'm going to take, because he'd be good on my defense too, but I'm going to take Bernard Pollard as my special teams. And yet he was just because he, I think in 2000, I don't know, when I looked through the media guide, record for block kicks at Purdue, which Bernard Pollard had, I think.
It's three.
And it is, and he was really, really good. Had a big one, a couple of them. I know in a season opener, I think in 2005 against Akron. But Bernard Pollard was a very good. But I'm going to have to. There's a lot of guys out there that you want to talk about. And sometimes it's walk-ons or unknown guys. Tom Vaughn from Central Catholic was fantastic. A local guy that ended up being a great. Great special teams guy that would make tackles on kickoffs. Chris Clopton, a small guy, was certainly worthy of that. Tom Kingsbury was an excellent. Oh, yeah. Tom Kamikaze Kingsbury wore number 15. He was a defensive end on the back end of the junk defense. Very good player, but also an extremely good cover guy in special teams. Frank Halliburton, also from Indianapolis, was very, very strong in the mid-2000s. Kawan Short had his days as a block kick guy. Bobby Iwichiku, another guy that was very good at blocking kicks and wreaking some havoc in there. I believe Bobby was from Texas in their mid-2000s with Joe Tiller and company. Anybody else come to mind is that special teams?
Roosevelt Coleman's got the record for block field goals in a season with four in 1998. Yeah. Todd Stelma, I don't remember Todd Stelma at all, but he was a good special teams player for Purdue as well. So those are a couple other guys for me that I jotted down. But I'm sure we're overlooking guys, Alan. The unsung special teams players, some guys forge a whole career out of that. Covering kicks, trying hard, playing smart, and guys, every good football program has.
Yeah, Stelma had a big block against Michigan State in 1998, I believe it was, right? And with the game at Michigan State that Purdue came back to win, and Breeze hit Isaac Jones a late touchdown there. But also, of course, Leo Perez's block of the kick against Michigan State in 1997 that brought Colvin some fame with his 62-yard return. So, yeah, I think we've hit a bunch of it. I know we've missed some, but that's part of the beauty of this is that there'll be some people that will bring that up to us, I'm sure. Purdue special teams all-time draft here. We did the best we could from that standpoint. All right. Happy rest of the July 4th to you, Tom. We appreciate all you do, and we'll look forward. I think we've still got defensive backs. We've done running backs. We have done those two, right? And so we need to do
wide receivers.
And wide receivers, that's right. So we need to do quarterbacks and offensive line, the linebackers. And defensive line that'll keep us busy over the next month. So, all right, I want to thank our sponsors, Purdue Federal Credit Union, of course, and Follett's Purdue West, 6th Street Dive, East End Grill, two restaurants in Lafayette. I want to thank also all of our restaurants that support us all the way from Whitaker Inn, Smee's, you mentioned, from Indianapolis, Arnie's, Bruno's, all great Lafayette institutions as well. And, of course, other sponsors, First Source Bank has been great to us over the years. And Charters Team Remax Ability Plus, and of course, Home Field Apparel. So we'll look forward to another edition of this next week. Have a good rest of the 4th, Tom, and we'll look forward to next week in our Saturday conversation.